facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to the program. It's so good to have you with me on this Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. Why don't you give out the phone number to call? We're going to have an incredible conversation. Got a couple of great guests for you that you're going to want to talk to. 888-914-9149 is a toll-free listener line for the Cale Clark Show, and it's sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. 888-914-9149. You can also email the show. The address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Follow me on the X app at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We're going to teach you about the life of somebody that you might not know that much about. He's the shepherd who didn't run away. An American, a priest, and a martyr. The first American Catholic martyr. He is blessed, and he is one step away from full canonization. Who was he? Blessed Stanley Rother. And he's also the subject of the new series from the Merry Beggars, the Family Entertainment Division of Relevant Radio, a dramatic presentation of Blessed Stanley Rother's life aimed at young people, and it made its debut this week on the Relevant Radio app and on the saintspodcast.com. But this show today, the Cale Clark Show, this is the show about Blessed Stanley for the big kids, for you and for me. And one of the things that I used to love were the old director's commentaries, if you remember these, on DVDs for movies, TV shows. Now that the world has kind of moved on to digital media, that is largely all kind of fallen by the wayside. But you could kind of look at this episode of the Cale Clark Show as the director's commentary, if you will, on the Blessed Stanley Rother series. And today I'm going to be joined by a couple of wonderful guests who had a lot to do with getting the story of Blessed Stanley out there to the masses, no pun intended. And my first guest today quite literally wrote the book on Blessed Stanley. I want to welcome to the program the author of The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, published by our Sunday Visitor Press, Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda. Maria, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the Cale Clark Show.
I am delighted to be with you. You even said my name perfectly.
Oh, hey, how about that? Well, speaking of language learning, you know, I might still have the chance to learn a little Spanish in my future, but Blessed Stanley was somebody who struggled a little bit with that. We will get into that in just a moment, but I just want to tell everyone about you, Maria, a little bit. You, just like Father Stanley went to Guatemala and that became his home away from home, you also came to the United States from Cuba when you were small.
Yes. I was only, I think, 18 months old, so I don't have really memories of that. Just memories of going back when Pope John Paul II was there. I got to go as a journalist, but leaving Cuba changed my life forever when my parents left after Fidel Castro. Yeah. Mm.
And where did you grow up once you arrived in the United States, Maria?
We settled in Puerto Rico because of the language. At first, my family was sponsored in Dallas, you know, through Catholic charities like so many of us refugees have. But Dallas was hard for my parents. They didn't have any English. So we moved on to Puerto Rico, and I lived there till I was almost high school.
But you did come back to Texas. You went to the U of T at Austin, right? And
that's
and that's where you met your husband, right?
Husband. Yeah, we were college sweethearts.
Beautiful, I love it. But you went somehow from being a Longhorn to being a Sooner. What led you to Oklahoma?
No, always a Longhorn.
Okay. All right, you got to represent.
I'm glad you know that rivalry. It's a real one.
Absolutely, it's so real.
We love Oklahoma. It's been a wonderful place to raise our children, but we're still Longhorns.
Fantastic. But you moved to Oklahoma because of your husband's profession, perhaps? Or
yes, correct. He was an attorney, or is an attorney, and he came to teach at the College of Law of OU.
Oh, fantastic.
We lived in Norman many years. That's where my kids really first introduced me to Blessed Stan because they were in Catholic schools, and I had never heard of him before we moved here. So if you don't know about him, you're in good company.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of Catholics don't, and this is why it's so providential that the Mary Beggars has done this series this week, and it's so great an experience to have you on the show, Maria, because you, of course, wrote this book, The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, and Oklahoma, of course, is the home state of Blessed Stanley Rother. Before he was a shepherd, though, as it were, he was a farmer, wasn't he?
Yes, and I think that's where we always have to start. He was from a farming family in Okarche, Oklahoma, just northwest of Oklahoma City. He grew up with family, farming, church as the center of his life.
I like that. Family, farming, and faith. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that his family probably was thinking, too, that he would sort of go into that family business and continue on as a farmer. But God had other plans. Yeah.
That's so true. When he was a senior, he announced it to his parents that after he graduated, he felt called to be a priest. And they had no idea. Everyone was assuming he would be a farmer like his dad and like his dad's dad and kind of pass on the tradition. Mm-hmm. But they were very supportive of him once he said, I feel strongly that I should be at least going to seminary to figure out if that's where God was calling him. And it was,
his own father might not have even known about this at the time, but his heavenly right. father had another vocation for him. But
so, that is correct.
And so Blessed Stanley goes to the seminary, but things don't exactly work out as planned. What happened in his first year of theology?
So he literally flunked the first year of theology.
That's unbelievable.
And he was sent home to reconsider what his calling was. But it was kind of shocking for everybody, including him. He knew that he hadn't been doing well with learning Latin, and everything was in Latin at that time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the 50s, middle 50s. So the seminary in San Antonio sent him back home to discern something different. But I think that only made Stanley stronger in his conviction that he was called to be a priest. And when he said this to the bishop here in Oklahoma City, the bishop had a wonderful response. He said, I will find you a place. So he ended up going to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, and he did very well there. It was a good home for him.
Yeah, and there's an interesting connection with another American saint, which we'll talk about in just a second with Emmitsburg,
yes.
Mount St. Mary.
That little town, can you imagine?
It's unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable. My guest is Maria Ruiz Caperlanda, and she's talking about Blessed Stanley Rother, and she's the author of the book about his life, The Shepherd Who Didn't Run. But our entertainment division here at Relevant Radio, The Mary Beggars, has just released a new series this week on the life of Blessed Stanley Rother. And speaking of him flunking out of his first year of theology and struggling with Latin, who wouldn't, to be honest? I can totally relate to this guy. And I think many students certainly can. Here's a clip from episode one of the Mary Beggar series that deals with this incident in his life.
Let me be clear, Stanley. This is your last shot. If you don't pass this semester, you won't be able to continue in seminary. Your dream of becoming a priest will be over, and that would be a shame.
Move it!
Come on!
Left! Left!
Go!
Watch the defense!
I'm open!
Over here!
Go to Stan!
Stan!
Yeah!
Amazing! Stan the man, you did it! We won!
You saved us, Rother. We haven't beaten the Nature Boys for a very long time.
Harry, I'm happy we won. And even happier the season's over.
All right, let's grab a beer.
I'd love to, Ed, but my last exam's tomorrow. I have to study and pray that I pass.
You lit 154 candles at the grotto yesterday. It's got to count for something.
I've been told I do have a habit of overdoing extracurricular activities.
You're good at prayer, though. I envy the way you pray.
That's the best part of my day.
Back on the Cale Clark Show with Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda. And Stanley Rother, when he kind of did get kicked out eventually for not doing so well with his Latin studies, despite his best efforts, he did find a teacher slash mentor who did encourage him, really with the example of somebody else who became a very, very holy individual who also kind of struggled in the seminary, St. John Vianney. Tell me about this teacher.
You mean the, at the seminary, or are we talking about his teacher in Okarchi? I think that's who you mean, right?
Helped him with the language learning, and he was able to kind of recover a little bit.
Well, I think the fact that they took his vocation desire very seriously, as they still do at Mount St. Mary's, and to have a teacher that took time to tutor him one-on-one and then kind of walk him through that hard part. The teacher definitely knew that it was up to Stanley to make it work, but he knew that Stanley was had a calling, had a desire to serve God in this very special way. And he made it all the way through, graduated in May of 63 and was ordained that year.
And that was a very pivotal year, too, in the history of the United States, the year of the Kennedy assassination, 1963. But graduating from Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, what is the link with another American saint? Well, I promised our listeners we would mention this.
Yes. So it is where the shrine to Elizabeth Ann Seton is located. And it's going to be interesting because I fully believe that Father Stan will be a saint for the whole church someday soon, I hope.
Yes,
and to have those two holy people from this town in Maryland, it's remarkable and exciting. I think they go kind of hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they both have such incredible lessons for ordinary Catholics in America. But we'll get into that in a bit. What happened after this, of course, Father Stanley Rother, after ordination, had some short stints in parishes, but then he volunteered for the missions. And tell me what Pope John the 23rd had to do with this.
I'm glad you brought that up, because to my knowledge, it's the only time in history that this really was asked of the church, and it was the Pope John the 23rd asked the Church of North America to send missionaries to Central and South America, and not just from the usual suspects, you know, like the Jesuits, Benedictines, Marino, but from the diocese, priests and sisters, and even lay serving people to help the people in Central and South America in these missions that many, like the one in Santiago Atitlan, that had been without a priest for 100 years before the Oklahoma missionaries got there.
And that's an incredible fact that they hadn't had a priest for over a century. And I also think kind of what happened next, Maria, is very providential, because I always say that God never wastes an experience in our life, whether it's good or bad. And certainly his farming background actually came in handy when he got to Guatemala, didn't it?
He was a perfect fit, as only God could do. I think God has a great sense of humor. So here's this farmer from Okarchi, Oklahoma. Strong, dedicated, family-oriented, worked with his hands. His brother Tom used to say there's nothing that Stanley couldn't fix. And this guy goes to Guatemala, to this remote village on Lake Atitlan called Santiago or St. James. And the people there, the Mayan Zutu Hills who lived there, all those things that I just said to describe the farmer from Okarchi, that's how their life is. It's very family-centered. It's centered on the land and on church. And Stanley was able to plug right in, working with them and literally working the land hand in hand together.
My guest is Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda, the author of the book, the biography of Blessed Stanley Rother, The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, published by OSV Press, and certainly played a big role as the Merry Beggars were developing their new series on Blessed Stanley, which was released this week on the saintspodcast.com. But not only is his farming skill, Father Stanley's farming skill came in handy, but also another experience that kind of helped him when he got to Guatemala was having struggled with language learning. And I can certainly relate to that. Languages were always hard for me to pick up when I was in school, too. That did help him, though, to learn the local dialect when he finally got there, didn't it?
That's why, to me, that is such a show of God's sense of humor. This guy who almost didn't get through the seminary and really had to work extra hard to finish and become a priest, because he couldn't learn the Latin, goes to Guatemala, and not only does he become fluent in Spanish, he became fluent in Zutu Hill, their Mayan language there. Mm. In those, it's actually only two villages around that lake have that language. So much so, he was serving in Zutu Hill. He was celebrating Mass just a few years after he got there. Can you imagine to a people that first hear their, in their own language, in their own words, the liturgy of the Mass? It must have been so powerful. But yeah, it's also God's sense of humor because of his story with learning languages. I call that his first miracle, really.
I love that. It's so true, and how meaningful that must have been to the people of Guatemala. We're going to be right back with my guest today, Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda. We're talking about Blessed Stanley Rother. Be right back on the Cale Clark Show. If you have a question for Maria, call in 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this.
You keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking with the author of The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, the biography of Blessed Stanley Rother, who's the subject of a new series from the Merry Beggars, the entertainment division of Relevant Radio, just dropped this week. 888-914-9149 if you want to call in with a question on Blessed Stanley for Maria. And Maria, we were talking about how Blessed Stanley made it as a missionary priest to Guatemala. Let's talk a little bit about the situation that he walked into. The church in general is kind of in a precarious place. The years after Vatican II, on several fronts, things are happening. Men are leaving the priesthood in droves, unfortunately. And actually, just about a year before Father Stanley was martyred, Archbishop Oscar Romero was also martyred. So tell me about the situation in Guatemala, in the church at that time.
It really was throughout Central America. Like you said, you had Archbishop Romero murdered just a year before Father Stan was martyred. It was all of those countries were kind of up in arms and on stability and lots of kind of guerrilla war. Santiago Atitlan is a very remote village in the Guatemala region. And to get there, it took a little bit more time probably than the rest of the country. But the church was simply trying to connect with the people, to be one with the people, to be the presence of God among the people. And Father Stan was not a political animal in the way that you would think in any of those things. He simply believed that that's what God called him, to be their parish priest, their presence of God among them. And he took it very seriously, and he wasn't going to go anywhere until his associate pastor was put on a death list along with him. Wow. And that's when he left early 1981, he came back to Oklahoma to discern what was next. I can imagine what a difficult thing that must have been for him. Yeah, because he was totally convinced and reassured that this is where God wanted him to be. So how does that work when you're in the middle of that kind of setup? I think it's beautiful that he said, I promised them I would be home for Holy Week. And that's exactly what he did. He went back to celebrate that with them.
He did, and you could understand, of course, why Father Stanley would want to evacuate his associate pastor, whose life was in danger. His own was as well. But he went back. He went back home, didn't he, to Oklahoma, to the home of his parents.
He did, and he basically visited with them, with the two bishops, so the Tulsa and Oklahoma City. He went to visit his sister in Wichita, Kansas, at the Adorers of the Blood of Christ.
And he went
back to Emmitsburg, and he went to the Mount to take some time to pray in that grotto that he loved so much of Our Lady of Lourdes.
Talk to me a little bit, Maria, about his parents and their reaction to him wanting to go back into the belly of the beast, if you will, back to Guatemala, where his life was certainly in grave danger. And he really had to live, and so did they, his parents, that maxim of our Lord, who said, anyone who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Of course, he loved his parents very much. But what was going on in their hearts at that time?
Oh, I tell you, as a mom, I have sat with that a lot myself. The idea of knowing what your son would be facing when he got back and trusting God with that. It must have been, heartbreaking. They trusted Stan, though. He was the oldest of the family. He had always been very connected to his parents and to his family. They had all gone to visit him in Santiago and seen his great work with the people there. So they trusted him to do what he needed to do for God.
Absolutely. And you have said too, Maria, that in so many ways, and you've mentioned that he promised the people that he would be back for Holy Week. And in so many ways, having just gone through Holy Week ourselves, this really was his Garden of Gethsemane in so many ways, because he could have chosen not to drink the chalice of suffering. He could have avoided martyrdom if he had stayed home, but he didn't.
And I don't think that it would have been that he did something wrong if he had stayed, but I think he was courageous to step forward and wait to see what God would do with that. He trusted God with his whole being. I'm kind of going to jump ahead only to say that when he was eventually martyred on July 28th, 1981, his body was being prepared to be sent back to Oklahoma, but the people there requested that his heart stay with them, and that was asked of his parents also, asked Wow. their permission to do this. Now, you say about him going back, but also about this is your heart. We use that phrase, you know, I give you my heart. All the things we want to say, how much things mean, we call it from the heart. And to have his heart be left there must have been an incredible decision from his parents. But they really knew that he already gave his heart to the people there, to serving them the way that God called them. So I don't know. It's very moving. And his heart is still there. It's on the altar, under the altar of the main church.
Along with also a jar of his blood as well. And I've seen images of this jar of blood, you know, on the altar when Mass was celebrated after his martyrdom. Tell me about the circumstances of that night, July the 28th, 1981. what actually happened when he was martyred?
That week was also the Feast of Santiago, right? I think it's the 25th, right? July, St. James, the Feast of St. James. So the whole plaza and the church was decorated, and it was very festive as they could within what was happening with the military being everywhere. But I think that evening, he celebrated Mass, daily Mass, and then they had arranged a dinner for some of the people that had been there visiting and volunteering. And then he went to the room where he was staying, and it was in his bedroom because he wanted to be kind of as hidden as he could, I guess, in terms of protection. Everybody had reshuffled in the building, but his across from the room where he was is where there were nuns and there were some of the volunteers that had come. Father Stan had promised his father that whatever happened, and if they came for him, I will not let them take me. Because basically what was happening is that people were taken and then they just disappeared, los desaparecidos. And they had tried to find his parishioners to bring him back for a proper burial. And actually, the series addresses that in one of the shows, going out and
Maria, that's a good time to mention that, because we do want to play this clip, and this is something that, again, most listeners probably haven't heard of. It's to do with something called the Duck Massacre. So here's the clip from the Mary Beggar series on Blessed Stanley Rother. Check this out.
Yes.
Lay the bodies across the stone in the church square.
Excuse me. I'm a nurse. Let us through.
Back.
I'll get Padre.
I said back!
Stan, they're afraid if they claim their loved one's body, they will be judged guilty by association and savagely murdered, like them.
How many are there?
With the three left in the truck, there are 18 bodies.
It's too much. Too much. We just buried Diego. Now this... God, what do you want from me?
Take notice!
This is my husband, Padre.
She's brave, and so must we be.
Stan, don't!
Watch it, Padre.
Yes. Yes, I'm here, next to you. Shh.
This is my brother.
It is. I'm here. Are you here, Jesus? Help me, please.
What a powerful clip. And just the presence of God, being aware of that, even in that situation, as horrific as it was. Talk to me about that. What exactly was happening at that time, Maria?
I love how well that came across and how they wrote it and acted it out for the radio show. It's a great series so far, by the way.
Absolutely.
I think it's very, very well done. To me, it says, it's a perfect example, really, of Father Stan knowing that he was standing there as a symbol, as a presence of God among his people. And what a powerful thing for him to just simply stand next to the women as they went up to claim their loved one that had been laying there and dead.
Yeah.
Just to walk with them, just to be there, to be the presence right next to them, to know that they're not alone and that God was walking with them in the only way that they could. I think it's beautiful, and it's very well done, that series.
Oh, it's so well done, and that corporal work of mercy of burying those dead. Actually, we have a phone call about this right now, Maria. My guest is Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda, the author of The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, the biography of Blessed Stanley Rother on, which was, of course, the subject of this incredible series by the Merry Beggars. We have a call about this. This is Melissa in Denver. Hi, Melissa. You're on the air.
Well, hi, and my call is simply to say thank you for this. I'm probably going to start crying, but Father Stanley is my fourth cousin.
Wow.
He was born the year my father was born, and he's my fourth cousin through my father's family. And so in my family history that was done many, many moons ago, I have all the articles about him from, like, basically right after he was killed. And so, in a way, you know, he was always been special, but so much more special. And so I have to say thank you, first of all. I've read your book when it came out, the year it came out. And it was so great to have that book there. And now the Merry Beggars. So here I'm getting all emotional. But we were at his beatification in Oklahoma City, my whole family. And that was such a special event. And so I just wanted to say thank you. Because I know Father Stanley was not the only martyr down there. There was many of them. But he represents all those people who died for our faith and the love of God's people. Anyway, sorry that I'm such a sap, but I just had
no.
Don't apologize.
No, please don't apologize. Thank you, Melissa.
Melissa, what a beautiful phone call. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. Wow, the fourth cousin of Blessed Stanley, Melissa, calling from Denver. And we so appreciate your words. And I'm sure that Peter Atkinson, the founder of the Merry Beggars, is listening right now. And he's so thankful as well as Maria is for your kind, kind words about, we need to get this word out about Blessed Stanley because not enough people know about him and his life. And I want to ask you this, Maria. Obviously, we know the saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. What do you think have been the fruits of Blessed Stanley's life and death?
Thank you for bringing that up. I had that same quote in my head. Well, one of the great indications, besides the fact that if you go to Santiago, you will meet a bunch of kids with his name.
Oh, wow.
And so many things that are named after him are there, but also the children. Well, one of the most beautiful indications is the fact that they had zero vocations from that parish until Father Stan was murdered and martyred in 1981. And since then, they have already had 13 priests and 5 seminarians right now, as of last year. From that parish, not from the area, from that parish. I mean, how powerful is that?
That is incredible.
Here in Oklahoma City, I need to point out that this past year we dedicated a shrine, and I invite everyone to come to Oklahoma City and look me up. The shrine is beautiful, and it's a great way to not just celebrate and pray together with him, but to let people know about him. There's a museum you can walk through. It's just a beautiful place, holy place. And please come to Oklahoma City.
It's a great reason to visit. Absolutely. And a pretty great basketball team down there, too. I don't know if you're a Hawks fan,
yes.
But the OKC Thunder with my Canadian friend. Not that I know him, but Shy, of course, Gilgeous Alexander, one of the great players in the league. But we're not here to talk hoops, as fun as that might be.
You're talking to the right person.
I love it.
I love it, too.
That's amazing. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take another call here. Let's go to Brian in Bangor, Maine. Hey, Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Cale. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy Easter to you, Brian.
Yeah, happy Easter, and thank you for having a great guest. Hello to the guest tonight. It's a fantastic show. And we won't talk Frozen 4, which is happening at this moment, so I'll go ahead. But I just came from daily mass, and it's the feast of Saint Stanislaw and his martyrdom when he was staying mass, and I just had to call in. It was so coincidental. The homily tonight was, you know, to examine your faith and would you have the courage to stand up to your faith like these two great examples, and it's a really inspirational show. And that's really my only comment. It's just, you know, we need these examples in our lives.
Yes.
And they just give us strength. So thank you for the great show.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thanks for calling in. I think Brian raises a great point, Maria, that we need those stories. We need examples in our lives. And that's what the Saints give us. That's what the Saints podcast from the Mary Beggars is really all about. But for lay people, how can we apply Blessed Stanley's story in our lives? What can we kind of pick up from him? Because really, he's about ordinary yes. holiness, isn't he?
Absolutely. And I think the example that he gives us that speaks to me personally is that we're all called to holiness, but my path to holiness is based on the details of my own life. And that for me, that means being a wife, a mother of four, a grandmother of 14, being a 14. Writer and writing. Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. You're blessed.
I am so blessed. But he offered his life each day to serve God in the way that God wanted him to do it. And he gave his whole heart in doing it. And that is something I can apply to my life. You know, it's something that we are all called to do. And it's going to take on different pictures depending on what our moment is and what's going on in our lives. But
that's a great point, too. That's a really great point. And obviously, this is really, if you boil down the message of Vatican II in one sentence, it's the universal call to holiness. But what we're called to do, the way we're called to seek holiness, it depends on our situation in life at the moment. And what we can give, and different contexts. And so we may be called to give the ultimate gift, as Blessed Stanley did. He gave his very life. And we all have to kind of do that. We're not all called to martyrdom, but we all are called to give our lives to Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. And that's just such a beautiful
point. And sometimes it takes suffering and hardship to do that. I guess I think of a quote from another one of my favorite saints, St. Edith Stein, and how she used to say, my life is about learning how to go about living in God's hands, how to go about living. And that's what my challenge is, right? How to do that in my life today.
Yeah, that's very well said from a great saint, St. Edith Stein. Let me ask you this, Maria. Obviously, the book, The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, published by our Sunday Visitor Press, available online, of course, wherever fine Catholic books are sold. But how can people find out more about you, Maria, and your work?
I'm not sure.
You got a blog, right?
I haven't been keeping up my blog. So I do have a blog called Day by Day with Maria, but it's taken kind of a step back these days. I think what I would encourage is, I'll say it again, come to Oklahoma City and look me up there.
Absolutely. Hey, well, if we go to the shrine, someone will know how to find you.
Absolutely. And the type of writing that I've been doing just the past 2 years is, for example, with the Living Faith community, they have a little booklet that is published for 3 months at a time. And I get to write some of the reflections based on the readings of the day. And that just is a great place to be right now.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And I'll tell you what, Oklahoma is a great place to be because not only are you there, but of course, that is the birthplace of a great, blessed, soon to be canonized, please God, in the Catholic Church, Blessed Stanley Rother. And of course, his biographer is Maria Ruiz Scapurlanda. Maria, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the Cale Clark Show. God bless you.
Oh, Cale, what a treat. I want to say one quick thing.
Sure.
We do not have a male American saint, a male American in terms of being born in the U.S. saint.
Right.
So I would really like us to pray for this guy to be it. He's the perfect model for us. He's a great witness for us. He's contemporary. And he teaches us how to strive to live holy lives in the ordinary lives that we have.
Oh, that is just so beautifully said. Maria, thank you so much, not only for writing the book, but also for those very, very wise and incredible words. God bless you. That was Maria Ruiz Scapirlanda, and we will be right back on the Cale Clark Show right after this. 888-914-9149.
This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We're talking about and celebrating the life of Blessed Stanley Rother with the release of the new series from the Merry Beggars, the entertainment division of Relevant Radio on Blessed Stanley Rother. And it's available now at thesaintspodcast.com and also on the Relevant Radio app. And I want to welcome in right now to the program somebody who had a huge hand in that development, Judy Zocchi, who's the head of script development for The Merry Beggars. Judy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, hi, Kel. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me on and spreading the word of Stanley Rother.
Absolutely. It is a good word for us to know about. And Judy, I ran into you at the worldwide headquarters of Relevant Radio a few months ago.
Yes.
And you shared this exciting project. I mean, you were just absolutely effervescent talking about this. And you said, Kale, we have to talk about this on the Cale Clark Show. And I'm so glad to have you on. And why don't you give our listeners a little peek behind the curtain, if you will. How does a story like this, a true story about Blessed Stanley, how does it go from the printed page, say Maria's book, from script to screen, but it's from script to speakers. It's an audio series.
Right,
how does that all happen?
Right. Well, it's a pretty intense project with an amazing team of people. Like, you would not believe how many people it takes to make this happen. You know, we're very fortunate. You know, you mentioned Peter Akatsin before, who's our executive producer and the founder of the Merry Beggars, and he has set up a system where it sort of goes from the idea, the concept, it's pitched to, you know, an editorial group. We decide, yes, we're going to do the saint. No, we're going to do the saint. We're going to figure it out. The writers pitch who they're interested in. Actually, I have a stable of 10 writers. It's a wonderful group of people from college age all the way up to almost 80. I mean, that's the span of the voices that, you know, are making these saint series happen. You know, once it's pitched and it's agreed on, they go into doing outlines, two sets of outlines. We have the editorial team consists of a script consultant, a theologian, a writer's assistant. And, you know, once it goes through that whole process, then I work one-on-one with the writers. We go back to the editorial team three times, three drafts. And then finally, the draft gets, finalized and locked and goes to our casting director, Kevin Collins, who is also a director. He directed the Stanley Rother series. I wrote the Stanley Rother series. I usually don't write them, but I have a personal connection to this one. I went to Mount St. Mary. So, but anyway, it goes to him. He finds the person. He found the perfect actor. Paul was his name. From there, it goes to production, and Joseph Marsh runs the room. You know, people don't realize how many takes, how many actors are all in one room, you know, and they only have a few rehearsals via Zoom before they actually come to the studio. It is amazing. And following production, it goes to sound design. So when you play that scene Maria told me, you know, we had a conversation about that scene, and she said that is one of the things she talks about all the time. I was like, oh, wow, how am I going to make this one happen? Because, you know, it's hard. It was hard, but the sound design team was able to, the sounds of the bodies, the quietness, the vocals, when it should be soft, when it shouldn't be. So the sound design is a whole another process, you know, and then it finally gets published. I mean, it takes like 9 months.
That's amazing.
Just to make this happen. The writers have 19 weeks to write the scripts.
Yeah, it's so much work goes into these series, and that's an incredible glimpse behind the curtain, if you will, of how the sausage is made. And what you're saying too is that the actors really don't get a chance to work with each other until they're there in the room. It kind of reminds me of a documentary that I saw about Hollywood musical scores, and think about John Williams and an orchestra. A lot of the players actually just kind of show up that day in LA, and they've never met each other, and sometimes they've never even seen the music before, but they're just such pros that they get it done. It kind of sounds a little bit like that, Judy.
Yeah, our production manager is very good at wrangling everybody to have like I think they have three. They have the initial read through that the writer, you know, and myself are invited to, you know, so we can talk to the director about our vision, you know, after we hear the first read through. And then I think they have two other rehearsals via Zoom. They have a dialect coach because many of the same series, you know, take place many, many years ago in different countries. Having an American, this is our second American born. We did Elizabeth Seton, you mentioned. Yep. Yeah, my our other
also a connection person. With the Mount.
Absolutely, I have the, like big shoes to follow with with these guys. But there's dialect coaching that happens. So much happens in a short period of time once this is cast that is like unheard of in the entertainment industry. Like the system that Peter has developed, it's a machine.
Wow.
And but a machine with creativity, with back and forth, with collaboration, yeah, with a lot of talent.
it's a machine with a heart. You know, if you're listening, Peter, that's what you've really developed.
Yes.
Here. It's like a sentient bot with actually a human soul. I love that. And you guys are just cranking out series like nobody's business. It's unbelievable. And I know how much our listeners are loving what they're hearing from the Saint series, from the Merry Beggars. I know my daughter is she's your prime customer. I mean, she just absolutely devours, Michaela devours these series when they come out. And in fact, just before the show started tonight, she was listening to the Rother series. And I'm with Judy Zaki right now. She's the head of script development for the Merry Beggars. And tell me a little bit, Judy, about your personal connection with Father Rother and why this is so meaningful for you.
Oh, it's so meaningful to me because the way I found out about him, I was fortunate. I was getting an award at Mount St. Mary's, and Father Flynn, or Archbishop Flynn, at the Mass gave the sermon about Stanley Rother. And I'm like, how did I not hear about this guy? I was literally on the campus when he came back for his, you know, when he did his discernment, you know, to figure out if he should go back or not. And I got very intrigued. Wow. And then, you know, I got the book. And so also, I don't think you know this, but the Archbishop Paul Coakley now, who is in Oklahoma, graduated the Mount around the same time I did as well. So he was there when Blessed Stanley's parents came, you know, for the dedication of something. Like the connections to Mount St. Mary's, the seminary and the college, and this story, it's unbelievable. And I sort of, you know, I have this devotion to him now from that experience. And the more I learn about him, I'm so happy you're getting the word out about him, Cal, because people don't know about him.
People don't know. You didn't know. And this is what we're trying to remedy here. On Relevant Radio, we're talking about Blessed Stanley Rother today, we're talking about the new series from the saintspodcast.com aimed at a younger audience, of course. But I do think it's very imperative that we get this out. And I'm hoping to have Archbishop Coakley on the show around the time of the feast day of Blessed Stanley.
And the present rector that we talked about, they opened the Stanley Rother, Monsignor Baker, they opened the Stanley Rother House, where now they're formating men before they actually go into the full seminary at the Stanley Rother House, which is based on a lot of who Stanley Rother was. So
it's so interesting, this propedeutic year that many, and I think it's a very good thing, a year of prayer and reflection and service that seminarians in a lot of places in the church are required to do now. And I think it's a good thing. We'll talk about that with the good Archbishop when he comes on the program. Judy, what a great conversation. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you so much
on your work on this
series on Blessed Stanley. God bless you. And I can't wait to see what you're up to next and what the next series are going to bring.
Okay, thank you, Cal.
Okay, God bless you. That was Judy Zaki from the Mary Beggar's head of script development. So, especially if you have young ones in the house, you're going to want to check this out. This is so powerful. The Blessed Stanley Rother series, which just came out this week, thesaintspodcast.com, and also on the Relevant Radio app from the Mary Beggar's, the family entertainment division of Relevant Radio. My thanks to Maria Ruiz Scaparlanda, the author of The Shepherd Who Didn't Run, the biography of Blessed Stanley Rother. Thanks also to Judy Zaki, and thanks to you for listening to The Cale Clark Show. Jim Schaefer produced. Miranda Sinceros took your phone calls. Tim Reese up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.